Would you take the Word of God and turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter? And we'll begin with one verse in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. As our Lord speaks to Moses, as Moses has gone up to God and the Lord calls out unto him from the mountain and tells him he is to speak to the children of Israel, and to say to them in verse 4 of Exodus chapter 19, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. How I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Somewhere in the margin of your Bible, near that verse, I'd like you to write the expression, "the meaning of life." The meaning of life. This is what it's all about. This is why God has allowed us to live. If you ever think that you're just aimlessly drifting without purpose, and you began to wonder what it's really all about, here it is. He says, "I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." He said, "You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians." That's not what it's all about. I'm bringing you unto myself. Not to some land of Canaan. Not some promised place across the Jordan, but unto myself. And all through life, God is working to accomplish this purpose, to bring us unto himself. I have one great regret. I have one great regret at this stage of my life. One great regret. Would you like to know what it is? I regret deeply that I've come to know so little of the Lord when He has desired for me to know so much of Him. I have this great regret that there's no limit to how much of the Lord I can know if I'll just enter in. No one has ever gone in as deep as he could go. No one. No one has ever come to know the Lord as much as he could know the Lord. Because our infinite God has no ending. And the Lord says, "I want to know you and I want you to know me. And I'm working in your life to accomplish this great meaning." This is what it's all about. If you think some of you have been relocated to this part of the country for a better job, I want you to know it's not for a better job. That's a secondary thing. What God has brought you here for is to know Him. If you think somewhere or another you got a promotion and you came to this land, to this particular part of this world, and you may have a better house and you may have a better income, but that's not why God brought you here. If you're one of His children, the Lord has you here to come to know Him. That's what it's all about. On the other hand, you may have gone through some great tragedy in life, something you call great, and you wonder why it happened. The Lord wants to make Himself known in all of that. In other words, we must see beyond all the circumstantial things. We must see beyond all the geography and all the blessings, all the things that we call good gifts, all the fine things that come to us. We must look beyond all of that and see that God has a greater purpose. As a matter of fact, God has one great purpose in it all. And that is that we come to know Him. Do you know Him? I didn't ask you, did you ever meet him? You say, I met him. Yes, in a revival meeting or a vacation Bible school or in a Sunday school class or at a church service at an altar. I met him. I didn't say, did you meet him? I said, do you know him? He wants you to know him. He longs for you to know him. There's no doubt about it. Just no doubt about it. He wants you to know him. May God help you to know him. Now, how does he accomplish this? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. To the 32nd chapter. As we consider the subject of on eagle's wings. How does the Lord accomplish this? If the meaning of life is to know the Lord. If God said to Moses, it is not that I allowed you to be born in Egypt and as a baby to be placed among the bulrushes and found by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in his house. And it's not that you would have some great ride through life. And then one day as a 40-year-old to escape to the desert and spend 40 years as an 80-year-old man, have me speak to you through a burning bush and then call you down to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Oh, that's what I have done with you. But that's not what your life is all about. What your life is all about is that I come to know you and you come to know me. That I bring you unto myself. That I bring you unto myself. I'll tell you, life takes a different look when you see it for what it really is. Things take on a different view through the eyes of faith. And the Lord says, I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And the Lord tells us again here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. I'd like you to underline, please, as an eagle in verse 11 and in verse 12, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord. Remember in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, God says, I bear you on eagle's wings to bring you unto myself. And now the Lord says here, as an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord. This is the way I work. In other words, if you understand how the eagle works, you're going to understand how the Lord works. If you understand how the eagle accomplishes what he is accomplishing, you're going to understand how the Lord accomplishes what he accomplishes. God says, I want to make it simple for you. The meaning of life is to bring you unto myself. The method I use to accomplish that can be illustrated in the life of the eagle. The meaning of life is to bring you unto myself. The method that I use to accomplish that can be seen in the life of the eagle. And so, as we see the eagle at work, God says, look at the eagle and you see me. As an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And I'd like you to make special note of these things. As an eagle, so the Lord. As an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. He builds. Anyone who's made any study of eagles knows that an eagle chooses some high, lofty place to build a nest. And for years, that is year after year after year after year, the eagle goes back to the same nest. They keep returning to the same nest. But they choose a place to build the nest. That place is chosen very carefully to try to escape as many predators as possible. In some high, lofty place, some high, tall tree, some place where people cannot reach, some cliff area that others cannot reach. And then the material for the nest is chosen. And as the parent eagle gathers all the material for the nest, they take great manner of pain in preparing the nest and building it, placing everything just exactly the right way. The eagle builds. And God says, as the eagle works, so the way he works. As an eagle builds, the Lord builds. That means that when God is working to accomplish the meaning of life, he works like an eagle and he builds our lives. God knows what it takes to build your life and mine. And someone has said that the Lord does much of that work on the night shift. When I was just a boy growing up, I grew up in Maryville, Tennessee, and most of the people who thought they had a good job worked at the aluminum company. And they had three shifts there. One was the day shift from 6 until 2, and one was the evening shift from 2 till 10, and the other was a shift they called the graveyard shift, from 10 at night until 6 in the morning. And they'd go all night long. They'd work all night long. They'd work during the night. Well, I want you to know that much of the building God does, he does in the night hours, in the dark hours of life, in the deep valleys. When things are not going the way they ought to go, at least the way we think they should go. God is building. And the Lord knows every ingredient I need in my life. At some point in my life, God could stop me. God could give me a detour. God could bring something into my life that might be hurtful or painful. But God knows I need that in the building of my life. And many of you look back in retrospect and you think about things that have happened to your life. You think about things you've gone through and things people have said, things that have happened to you or have happened to your children. And you wonder how in this world such a thing could happen. Why did it happen? Why did it turn out that way? Why did it happen to me, you say? God has allowed these things to come through his hands, not because he's some weak, feeble old man that can't control them, but because he designs it this way. He's building our lives. He knows everything we need. A little boy grew up without knowing his parents. Finally winds up in a reform school. For a reform school, he goes to prison. He gets out of prison at age 27. At age 42, he meets a girl who had to leave home at 11 because of abusive parents or stepfather. She grew up really without a home. At age 17, she meets a 42-year-old man. They marry and have a son. That's me. They have three more children, my brother and two sisters. And turbulent thing after turbulent thing begins in that family. I'm talking about bad things. Finally, the marriage breaks up. Dad dies. And you get to thinking sometimes, pitiful me, victim me, victim me. No, no, not at all. Not at all. It's a very foolish thing to look at your life that way. God's children aren't victims. God placed certain ingredients in our lives. He allows circumstances. He mixes things the way he wants to make them to build us the way he wants to build us. The only sure foundation is Jesus Christ. If you've never asked him to forgive your sin and by faith receive him as your Savior, it doesn't make a difference how much money you earn. It doesn't matter where you live or what you drive or what you wear. When you die, you're going to die and go to hell. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It matters no matter how good an education you try to get for your children, or how well you try to clothe your children, or how well you try to help them to articulate what they believe, no matter how well groomed they are, how well spoken they are, if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, they're going to live and die and go to hell too. The only sure foundation is Jesus Christ. You can't build on anything else and have it last. They have mothers, God bless them, who are trying to be good mothers, who are working sometimes two or three jobs, trying to raise a family by themselves. And my heart goes out to you. My mother raised four children by herself. Working in a restaurant and working in a fruit market, working 12 and 14 hours a day. I remember one time in our home, somebody called the welfare to come and check our home out because my mother was gone so much of the day. But she took a job just about a block and a half away so she could watch what we were doing. She worked in a fruit market and she could watch from under the tent and under the awning. She could watch what we were doing. And if any emergency happened to arise, she could run down and she'd arrive there in no time. But we were living in an apartment. A lady upstairs said to somebody one day, said, "I don't think these kids are getting the proper attention." Now, what she really thought was we're giving her too hard of a time, and we no doubt were. You know, two boys, two girls. And she wanted a whole lot more peace and quiet than she was enjoying with us in the place. But she called the welfare to come out and investigate. And they had a threatening word to say to my mother. Well, it all passed, but it wasn't but a few weeks. I was coming home from school one day, and I saw the traffic stopped. The whole traffic stopped in front of the house. Backed up everywhere. I mean, people in the road backed up everywhere. You couldn't believe it. It's just absolutely everywhere. People standing in the highway. You couldn't believe what was going on. And I thought, what in the world is happening here? As I came up to my house, and all the cars stopped, and people gathered around the road everywhere. And I thought to myself, what in the world is going on here? And I finally made my way through the crowd, and two women were fighting in the street. You guessed it. My mother had gone upstairs and dragged that woman down, dragged her down a flight of stairs into the yard and into the highway. Now, I know it's not a very becoming thing, not a becoming thing for a woman to be doing. But she told her, if you ever do anything again to threaten the security of my children and to get them taken from me, you're going to get worse than this. You say, did that embarrass you? I guess at the time it did. But she was thinking about her children. Keeping that family together. Working at it. You see, if you could choose to go back and change things, don't make a foolish mistake and say, I'd go back and choose a different mama, different daddy, different place to live. No. Don't be that foolish. Don't be that foolish. Don't start second guessing your life. Where are you going to stop? Where are you going to stop? How many of you love biscuits? Would you raise your hand? You love biscuits, hot biscuits. How many of you like chicken gravy and hot biscuits? I like chicken gravy, sausage gravy, not quite as well, but I like sausage gravy. Bacon gravy you can keep. Ham gravy, I like ham gravy. Haven't had any in quite a while, darling. Yeah. But you know, when you make biscuits, sweetheart, what you have been fixing has been wonderful. I want you to know that. Lord, help me get out of this, all right? But when you're making biscuits, I remember Brother Roloff saying, when you're making biscuits, if you take individual ingredients of biscuits and you tried to eat baking soda or plain flour or a handful of lard, it doesn't taste good. But if you mix all those individual ingredients together and put them in an oven and leave the heat on for a certain time at a certain temperature and bring it out, it's delicious. And there are ingredients that God hands us in life that are not too appetizing individually. But when He puts them all together, oh my, God knows what He's doing. When He's at work in the heavenly kitchen, He knows what He's doing. As an eagle, so the Lord builds. But then notice the amazing thing. As an eagle, so the Lord breaks. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. Stirreth up her nest. She begins to break it up. I mean, what she actually built, she breaks up. You see, there are two or three little eaglets, and the parent eagle knows that they're not to be born to stay in that nest. And as they are hatched in that nest, they've got to fly. They were born to fly. So the nest that was so comfortable and such a wonderful place to be, she begins to make uncomfortable. She stirs up her nest. She takes some of the twigs and branches that were laying horizontally and turns them up vertically. She takes some of the things that were used as padding and she removes them. And now there's not a nice place in that whole nest to sit. If you could hear them eaglets talking, they'd be saying, ow, ooh, ow. They can't stand it. There's not a good place there. Because they got to get out of that nest. She knows they were not born to stay there. They were born to fly. And she has to stir them up to get them out. As an eagle, so the Lord. He has to break up some things in our lives to get us to the next place we need to be. Some of you wondered why you couldn't get along with somebody at work, and you tried everything you knew to try, and you loved your job. You thought it was the best thing in all the world, but something just went wrong. And 2 months later, you found out you were going to be transferred, and you could never have given it up had something like that not been allowed to happen. You lived in the best neighborhood you ever lived in your life, but something went wrong with a neighbor. I don't know why. She just went off the deep end. It's always one of them, you know. I mean, she went off the deep end, yeah. Or he became a little something. It wasn't just right anymore. Six weeks later, you find out you really need to move. You're supposed to relocate. You wonder why there was a stirring. You see, God knows when to break it up to get us to move out. Occasionally in a work like this, we have over 100 people working here. And God calls one of them to the mission field. The Lord wants one of them to go pastor a church or to go serve as an associate somewhere. And they've been doing something other than that here. And occasionally you wonder, they just don't seem to be exactly fitting like they were once fitting in the thing. You know why? Because there's a stirring inside here. Many of you could stand and testify now about times in your life when God has stirred you up. And you wondered what was going on. He's trying to get you to the next level in life. He works the same way in a church. Before we can launch out and do more of what God wants us to do, we must go deeper in our roots. And the Lord will stir us. Why? To bring us to Himself. To bring us to Himself. Are you being stirred now? Are you being stirred? Something you thought you could never give up. But after this stirring, you think things aren't exactly the same. As an eagle, so the Lord breaks. As an eagle, so the Lord broods. Listen to what the Bible says. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. You see those little eaglets in the nest? Can you imagine them in your mind's eye? They've got to get out and fly. So mother parent eagle does an amazing thing. Majestically, she flies in front of them. Or she perches herself somewhere in a distance out from them where they can see her and they want to join her. And then from that perched place, she moves majestically through the air. And they see her. They get their eyes on her. And they begin to dream, I'd like to fly. I'd like to do that. I'd like to launch out. I'd like to move out. That's something I'd like to do. You know, eaglets never learn to fly watching one another. And we never learn to faith God looking at one another. There's so many miserable people in every church I know. And they're miserable to the core. They're miserable because they just look at one another every once in a while and keep their eyes just going this way, you know. Just looking at one another. And you're going to be stinkingly miserable all of your life if you don't get your eyes off people. Get them off of people on the Lord. And all of a sudden, one little eaglet will say, I'm going. And he gets to the edge of the nest. And he starts out, and she's watching every single solitary thing he does. Always with a watchful eye. Notice the fourth thing, she bears them. She bears them. She bears them on her wings. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. If you turn just a bit in your Bibles to the 33rd chapter, the Bible says in verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. How far can you go? Can't go too far down because God's arms are under me. Little eagle begins to fly. Under parents' watchful eye, there's a certain current created by the moving of the parent eagle's wings that helps the eaglet to fly. It is an uplifting current given by the mother of the parent eagle's wings flying. But if there's a sudden faltering on the part of that eaglet, the parent eagle zooms beneath them and spreads abroad those mighty wings and catches them on the wings and soars higher and higher and then removes the wings and says, try again. And they say in all recorded sightings of eagles learning to fly, they've never found one that's fallen to his death. I don't know about that. But I know that God has never lost to one of his children. Never. There's some times in life when you feel like you're going to be the first one. But God has never lost to one of his children. As an eagle, so the Lord. Listen, the meaning of life is to bring us unto the Lord. Some of you just got to the Temple Baptist Church. You didn't just get here. God said, I'm going to tell you something. He could call your name, and I could call some of your names right this moment. He could call your name and say, you know why I brought you to Tennessee? You know why I brought you to Powell, Tennessee? Do you know why I brought you to Temple Baptist Church? Because I want you to come to know more of me than you've ever known in your life. I want to make the greatest difference in your life and family that could possibly be imagined. The meaning of life is to bring you unto myself. And that's why you don't flinch and yell and squawk and complain about some little something happening when you know God has led you. Now, how does he go about it? He builds. And then when everything's just fine, something breaks. You see, God is in disappointments just as much as God is in deliverances. God is in disturbances just as much as God is in deliverances. And he broods. We're always under his watchful eye. And he bears. Some of you think you can't make it. I can remember sometimes as an older boy, being the oldest of four children, my mother saying, she called me by a nickname, and she called me by that nickname and said, come in here, honey. And there was a room in our house where we only had just a bed. There were three bedrooms. My brother and I slept in twin beds in one room. My mother had a bed to herself, and my sisters slept in a double bed together. And my mother would call me into her room, and like two little children, she'd say, come here, and we'd talk. And we'd sit down. The only thing in that room was a bed. We wouldn't sit on the bed. We'd sit on the floor, and we'd lean against the wall with our backs to the wall like this. There was an old fireplace that wasn't in use, and she'd be on one side of it, and I'd be on the other. She said, we'd talk about something. And she'd say something like this to me. I don't know how we're going to be able to do and whatever it was, she'd explain. Tommy needs this. Catherine needs this. Sheila needs this. What do you think? And she discussed things like that with me. And a lot of times we think, hey, we don't know how we're going to make it. And when we finish talking, I don't know exactly why, but I'm thankful to God she say it. She said, well, somehow or another, the Lord will help us. And then she'd say, and this is just sort of her byword, if I ever wrote a story of her life, I think I'd have to put this in some way. She'd always say, you know, it could always be worse. She raised four children by herself, saying, when something would go bad, she'd say, it could always be worse. Here's a little girl who didn't know who her daddy was till she was about 14. Had to leave home because of a stepfather at age 11. Had rickets, was burned badly. Married to a man, didn't know how to love her. had every bone in her face broken, had her face crushed by a man's fist, had her throat cut and her eye hanging out on the side of her cheek. Spent 30 days in the hospital trying to recover. Who said, it could always be worse. Two nervous breakdowns. It could always be worse. But liver cancer right now, I just talked to her late yesterday. It could always be worse. I'm going to tell you something. God knows what He's doing. We don't know what we're doing all the time, but He knows what He's doing. And He's working to bring us to Himself. To bring us to Himself. Is the job getting done in your life? Do you know Him as your Savior? Can you see Him building? Do you know He's breaking up some things for your good? Are you having anything painful happen right now? You know it's God. Can you see the Lord brooding over you? You're always under His watchful care. If you think you're falling and you're going to crash, think again. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He'll see you through. Let's pray. Amen.